speaking, he said, if you look at the Hebrew culture, they didn't have retirement. People didn't retire like we think about retiring, which is retire and mail it in. You know, kind of like, well, I'm just going to bide out my days. And I love the phrase that I heard used, and I know you've heard it before. He said, don't retire, refire. Yeah. Amen? That doesn't mean you're going to stay in your secular job. Do the same thing you did in your younger years and all of that. It just means that when you make that transition, actually, it could be truly the golden years, like they say. And understanding that really in the way God created us, He didn't create us just to retire and just sit around and do nothing. He has something for us all in this season, whatever season of life we're in. All the young people are going, okay, whatever, Pastor. But anyway. Praise God. Well, God is good. Amen. I have a word for you today. I really do. And I want to be able to pray with you over this word in a few moments. So if you would, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians, the epistle of Colossians. And if you'll turn there, I'm going to read a couple of passages just to lay some groundwork today and bring this word to you this morning. Are y'all ready for the word? All right, hallelujah. A little lull there. You already in Labor Day lull? But anyway, hope most of you get the day off tomorrow and you can enjoy the 109 degrees. Okay. Praise God for air conditioning. Amen. And so excited for you guys for your new home. Amen. Just excited for you. And I have to tell you about one of your neighbors, but we'll talk. She's not in the room. They live right down the street from Terry. She just went next door to do some trustee stuff with the offering, huh?
Melody, you say, I said that was very worse this morning.
Okay, yeah.
This is not fine.
That's right. No way.
And
I want to warn all of you that I'm sure Rick and Melody are going to be calling, needing a room when they. When they come to winter with us, you know, they're gonna need a room. But you know what? God can bless y'all and give you something here too. Amen. I mean, we need to just take off all the restraints and believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm excited. And you do look back and you just realize when it's all said and done, it really is about what we're doing for the Lord and what He's called us to do and the life that we have with Him. And I know it's cliche sounding, but you can't take it with you. And you're not going to take it with you. So you might as well cancel the U-Haul you had for your reservation on the day of your death. You're not taking it with you.
My dad used to say, he said, you come into this world naked, you leave naked.
Yep, you leave naked. Yep, amen. All right, y'all ready? Colossians 1, verse number 15. He is the image, speaking of Jesus, of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him, all things, everybody say all things, were created. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created, get this now, through Him and for Him. Everybody got that? That includes you and me, right? He is before all things, and in Him, if I say in Him, all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. Everybody say the church. Now you know the church is not religion. It's the people of God. Amen? And He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have what? First place in everything. And I've shared this with you previously, but that word, I love the King James. It says that He will be preeminent in everything in our lives. I mean, when people look at our lives, and they look at the church, and they look at you and I, and they look at our marriages and our families and all that we do, they should see Jesus preeminent. Amen. They come into your home. Jesus should be preeminent. Amen. Hallelujah. He should have first place. He should be of the most honor that there is. Everything is summed up in Jesus. And He needs to have first place. Now, we're also told clearly by our Lord Jesus, who is the preeminent one, we are told to seek first what? The kingdom of God. We're to seek first that ruling reign of Christ in our lives. Then you'd be why? Because if you connect it, when you say thy kingdom come, you also say what? Thy will be done. So when you seek the will and reign of God, you're also seeking the will of God to be done. Amen? In any and every situation. And if He's preeminent, that's how, that is the glasses, so to speak, the lenses, so to speak, that I gain my perspective from, is from the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Everybody still there? That's what we talked about last week. So magnify the Lord with me. Don't magnify your problem. Magnify the Lordship of Jesus in that situation of your life. Please get last week's message, you know, if you weren't here, okay? Colossians, now let's go down to verse 25 in that same chapter. Of this church, now this is Paul speaking, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now here's the mystery. Everybody ready? Say it with me. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now make it personal. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Y'all say, that's the mystery. Of all the religions in the world, this one stands out. That's the mysterious thing, is God is within us. Glory is in you. Amen? Now, no, we have glory manifest when we worship. We have glory manifest in the atmosphere when we're seeking God. But I'm talking about a glory that is resident within you. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And I was thinking about that. That word complete would also speak to being lacking nothing. It would speak of maturity. It would speak of perfection in the sense of that you've grown up into Christ. And that means he's going to be preeminent. Amen? When you look at your life and my life, there's going to be a preeminence of Christ there. But also we're going to see something. It's the understanding of the glory within us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because God has called you and I to be a catalyst for things for God to do. And he needs the catalyst to be there. Okay? There's a severity to some of the, I say severity, there is an exaggeration or going out of bounds with some of the sovereignty of God teaching. Because it would have you have this mindset where God's going to do what God wants to do and everything that happens is God's will. And that is not truth. That is not truth. We live our lives and there are circumstances and things that we are reaping what we've sown. Amen? There's an enemy. We have an adversary. In fact, the world system is under his control right now through deception and lies. Amen? And we are coming to release the glory of God in that situation. So we got to be very, very careful and understand Christ in me is the hope of glory. But here's what I want you to see. You are not the glory. But the glory is in you. That we got. How many of us, some people need to remember that. You're not the glory. And even the anointing, when the anointing does something, the anointing may be on you, but you're not the anointing.
That's right.
Amen? You're just a vessel for God. And if we go back in the Word of God, God one time used a donkey. Okay, so he can use anybody, all right? And I'd rather be his donkey than not be used of God. How about you? Hallelujah. So it is Jesus Christ in us. He also said this about his kingdom. He said, the kingdom is within you. So not only is he within us, but his rule and dominion is within the heart of a believer. And here's the part that I think we probably, that really blows away any over-exaggeration. And I do believe in God's sovereignty. But I'm talking about in his sovereignty, he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. How many know, if he throws you the keys and you don't use them, amen? You know, if I threw you my keys, that doesn't automatically put you in my car. Right? You've got to still get up and use the keys to drive my car, amen? And if you're going to drive it today, I need you to pay a payment. Okay, all right, let's go. All right. What are those keys? To bind and to loose. To bind simply means to forbid something, to say no to it, all right? And to loose means to permit it, to allow it, to call for it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in a situation, amen? So this is how we did it last night, playing over with Crystal. We were binding death, we were binding various things in the name of Jesus, but we were also losing life and healing and restoration and resurrection to this young lady. Amen? That's how it works. Hallelujah. Now, as his body, we're his vessels, we're his ambassadors, and we have been appointed and commissioned by our Lord under his authority to become a catalyst for his glory. Now, I want to give you the definition of a catalyst. A catalyst is a personal thing that precipitates an event or an action. A catalyst will provoke, something that's a catalyst will provoke something to change quickly or to speed up and begin to happen. How many of you know there's times in our lives when we wish things would speed up? We wish something would happen. We're tired of the delay and all the hope deferred and all of that. And yet sometimes God is saying that yet you're my catalyst, but I need you to be my catalyst to make that happen. Amen? I want to give you an example. There's so many in the Word of God, we could do a whole series on this, and I might. But I do want to go to Acts chapter 3 and share two with you to this morning. Go to Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. And then I want to show you one in the Old Testament. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. It said, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day, and I say every day, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. I guess today you would have a cardboard sign at the freeway exit, right? When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold. But, now, this is key, everybody. But what I do have, when I say what I have, I give to you. Y'all see that? In the name of Jesus, the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened, and with a leap he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. I mean, that was a triple miracle. It's one thing he was able to stand up. It's another thing for a man that's never walked from his mother's womb that he knew how to walk. And on top of that, then he starts leaping. Come on, sometimes we read things so quickly, we don't realize how powerful this miracle was. I mean, this man just advanced all the way up to maturity and walking and leaping. Hallelujah. By the way, walking and leaping is mature. Hallelujah. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with what? Say it with me. Wonder and amazement at what had happened. How many know our generation needs to be filled with some wonder and amazement? Amen? Here's the thing. You and I are the catalyst for that to happen. Peter and John, their obedience, now stay with me, their obedience became a catalyst for this mighty miracle. And get this, and this miracle led to over 5,000 souls being added to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's exciting when you understand. You don't always understand how one, what we might seem to be insignificant thing, is going to have a repercussion through the culture. Amen? How many of you, we need more of that, do we not? Now, none of this would have been possible without Peter and John's obedience. Would you agree? They were obedient, but they just didn't walk by the guy. He was always there. But they heard something today to get this guy's attention. And they did this. And they were seeking first the kingdom of God. And their obedience became a catalyst for a miracle. And the miracle became a catalyst for thousands to be saved. Amen? So you never know what you're setting in order. That's the way things work in the kingdom of God. That's the way seeds go, and they bear more fruit than the initial seed sown. In every situation of life, you and I need to learn to be quick to hear, amen, and careful to speak. To be careful that we speak and respond by the Spirit of God and on behalf of the kingdom of God. Amen? I know, but I want to see. And I've heard people say, well, it said there that the man looked back at Peter and John and he was expecting something from them. I'll tell you what he's expecting. Alms. Are y'all with me? Because that's what he was asking for. And even in that, Peter and John said, he made clear, what you're wanting, I don't have. But what I have, are y'all getting this? What I have, I'll give you. Don't ever think because you may not be in a position where you can bless somebody monetarily or do something for them on a physical level. Don't, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't ever think that that disqualifies you for giving them what you have. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen? And so Peter knew that. He said, what I have, I give to you. And then he began to speak in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen? Don't you love that story? I love this story. And by the way, they ended up in jail over it. They got persecuted big time over this because thousands were coming to the kingdom because somebody said, I'll be your catalyst, Lord, for to make something happen and move something forward. I want you to get excited about that, okay? In every situation. Now think about this. Here's the reason I believe the Bible says be quick to hear and be slow or careful to speak. And the reason I believe the Bible says this clearly to us is that we need to hear what God's saying. Amen? Remember what Jesus said? He said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear Him saying. And some of you know, if we're going to do the works of Christ, then we too have to have that type of connection to the Holy Spirit who's within us to speak to us and lead us and guide us into truth. Faith comes by hearing. hearing and hearing what? The Word of God. Okay? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. How many of you know, if you just read Scripture, faith can come if you're listening? Hello? It's about listening from the heart. Your faith can come. Here's the thing that I want you to get. Faith comes by hearing. Now, Hebrews says, now faith, in other words, a faith for right now is the substance of things you're hoping for and the evidence of things that are not seen. Correct? This is the faith that pleases God. Now faith. Here's the thing. We're not going to have now faith unless we have now hearing. Because he didn't say faith comes by what you have heard. Faith comes by what you're hearing. So let me know how important it was to tune in to what God is saying in every situation. Amen? Y'all staying on track with me? Okay, keep tracking with me here. Every situation, we're going to magnify the Lord. Would you agree? If not, get last week's message. We're going to lift up and magnify the Lord and exalt his name. And let's cause whatever the enemy's doing to look rather small compared to what God's doing. Amen? Okay? Now, I want to take you to another account in Joshua. If you want to turn over to the book of Joshua. After Joshua and the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, one of the first things Joshua did, because all the young men there had never been circumcised. So they had been circumcised. And then they took the Passover, which we know in Christianity, that's Jesus instituted it as what we call Holy Communion, the table of the Lord, the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. So they had Passover. And at this point, everything changes about how they live in the promised land versus how they lived in the desert. Now, would you agree with me? In the desert, they were provided for. Hello? Manna fell from the sky 6 days a week with a double portion for the day it didn't fall, right? And I mean, their shoes didn't wear out. They got water from a rock. They were provided, and yet that wasn't God's ultimate for them. They always have to live on a miracle. But what was getting ready to happen is they were getting ready to possess this good land that they crossed over into. And how many of you know, if all you've been doing is just getting it through a miracle, how many of you know, that can be, you know what? I want to live in a place where I'm not always needing a miracle, but where I'm always a catalyst for somebody else's miracle. Are y'all with me? And that's where we get to. And I think a lot of what God has done in the church in the last, through the charismatic movement and all the things that have been restored, I think a lot of the problem has been, there's been too much navel-gazing. It's all about me and how I can get blessed instead of how God wants to bless me so that I can be a blessing to someone else. Amen? Okay, let's look at this, what happens here. On Joshua 5, verse 11, look there with me. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. Now get this. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the same of the yield of the land of Canaan during that day, some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. Now, look at verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, look what he says, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And he said, no. No. Rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what is my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. All right, go to the next verse. There's no chapter break, okay? So the next verse, the first verse of chapter 6. Now Jericho, when I say Jericho, what was it? It was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. Do y'all see that? No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, what did he say? What's the first word? See. And I say, see. I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its valiant warriors. Now, guys, this is amazing. We're talking about walls that people lived in the walls. We're talking about walls that chariots ran around on top of the walls. Okay? We're talking about a city that's fortified, and it's known for its fortification, and it's known to be impenetrable, and it's known for its mighty, valiant warriors. And so the angel of the Lord says to Joshua, look at this fortified city. The Lord's given it to you. Think about it. It's yours. How many of you know what you see in the natural is not what he wants you to see in the spiritual? Amen? He said, I want you to see that the Lord has given Jericho into your hands. Now, in obedience, we know the story. They went and they circled this fortified city for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they blew the shofars and the people shouted. And now get this, and they became a catalyst for the walls to come down. Now, everybody stay with me. Their shout didn't bring down the walls per se. Stay with me. Their shout didn't cause some kind of a earthquake because they shouted so loud. I've been in some loud meetings and I've never seen walls come down over it, okay? Hello. How many of you know, but, it took their shout to become a catalyst for the power of God to bring those walls up. Because, how many of you know, if these huge walls had just fallen to the ground, then guess what? They would have had a mountain of rubble to go over. But they were pushed down flat. So this is truly a miracle of God. Are y'all with me? But y'all see, they had to obey God and circle this place like it was theirs. Are y'all getting this? They had to circle it like it was theirs. They had to circle it like it was theirs. And then offer up a shout to God, and the walls came down flat. They became a catalyst for God to do a great thing, to give them this city. It's very important we understand that. The shout of praise is a catalyst to break down walls. Come on, everybody. I tell you, it is. It's been the theme for Christendom lately. Raise a hallelujah, because it's a catalyst to break down walls. It's also the catalyst to bring God's presence into your presence, because God inhabits praise. There is not one verse in the Bible that says God inhabits boohooing and crying and murmuring and complaining. God inhabits praise. Everybody say hallelujah. Be a catalyst, amen? Intercession and prayer and spiritual warfare is a catalyst for revival and harvest to come. Amen? For souls to be saved. It's been proven throughout church history. Hallelujah. A prophetic word can be proclaimed just from God, and it will be a catalyst that will catapult a people or a person forward into their purpose and destiny. But that word had to be spoken to become... Are y'all getting what a catalyst is? Are you getting it? Okay. A testimony. The testimony of Jesus. Somebody can just share what Jesus did for them, what Jesus did for my marriage, how Jesus healed my body, how Jesus set my son free from addiction, whatever. Whatever the testimony, it can become a catalyst for the same breakthrough in another person's life. Why? Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen? Are y'all getting this? So a lot of you might think, well, how can I be a catalyst? I don't know how to preach. I don't lead worship. I don't do the... Guys, quit looking at those things. You can be a catalyst through your obedience to God. Amen? Say, Christ in me. Say it. Christ in me. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. Let him out. Amen? Let him out. Hallelujah. God didn't call you to be a mason jar. You got the Holy Spirit all sealed up and put away like a preservative. Like jellies and jams, you know. One day I'll let him out. Jesus said, please let me out now. Amen? But it takes the catalyst to do it. Are y'all with me? It's time for us, I believe, to position ourselves as the individuals and as a church to be a catalyst for what I believe God wants to do. Because when I read the Word of God, we can get all focused on the apostasy and the falling away and all the troubles in the world. But you know, you can go to any generation and look at the news and it's depressing. Or you can say, you know, I'm going to be a catalyst. Because I know the only thing this generation needs is a move of God. They need salvation. They need, amen? And we need to believe that way. We need to think that way. I want to give you four keys to being a catalyst. Are you ready? Number one, we must have a revelation that Christ is in us. You might say, Pastor, you've already said that a dozen times. But you need a revelation that Jesus Christ is in you. Amen? Thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. What did Peter say? Well, man, you've been like this since your mother's womb. God bless you. We'll take up an offering for you in the temple and bring you some silver and gold. Now, is that what he said? No. He said, silver and gold I don't have,
but what I have, I give to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Again, please everybody hear my heart. You and I are not the glory. Are we cool? Everybody cool? You and I are not the glory. Hallelujah. But the glory is in us. If you really believe, if you've received the Holy Spirit, the glory is in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And guess what? We've been given the keys to release that glory into other people's lives. Hallelujah. Number two. So number one, you need to what? Believe and have a revelation of the fact that Christ is in you. Number two, you need to understand something. There's almost always going to be an obedient reaction, an obedient action required of you. There's almost always something you need to do to obey God. Hello? And a lot of times, it'll be along with just being obedient to magnify God. And it's hard sometimes. We've all been in situations. We want to minister to someone or help someone, and the situation is huge in our eyes. And God said, well, I want you to start magnifying me. If you don't get that person's eyes on me, they ain't coming out of that bed. They're not coming out of that problem or that trouble. Are y'all with me? They're not breaking out of this prison until they look at who can set the captives free. And so you start to magnify the Lord, but you start to obey the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, was it important for Joshua to see that that fortified city was his? Was that important?
Yes.
Was that important? But how much more important was it that they were obedient? Because you could sit over on the creek bank, right? Have a picnic and stare at Jericho for 40 years. Just like you did in the desert, right? You could camp out there and never move toward Jericho. And so the Lord told me, he said, I want you guys to circle this thing. Hey, you don't circle anything unless it's yours. I want you to circle this thing. I want you to draw a circle around it. Amen? And claim it for my glory. They had to obey God. Amen? So they circled that city in preparation to possess it. I don't believe, interestingly, the Lord told him not to say anything. Because I don't think he wanted to walk around going, why are we doing this? What in the world? It's hot. I mean, let's bring it down to Phoenix. It's too hot outside to be circling anything. Right? I don't even want to roll the garbage can to the curb. Are you kidding me? Are you with me? But to circle this thing day after day after day. Until the pivotal day when they became the catalyst. And to be able to do that without murmuring and complaining. And I've said this to you so many times. And the reason I say it to you so many times is Rick Bennett needs to hear it. Sometimes we just need to zip it until we can say the word. Amen? Just clamp it up until you can say the word of God. Amen? Are you all with me? Susan and I are always shushing each other. Stop it, I cancel it right now. Let me change it. Yeah, we always do that to each other. We're getting better now. We're not shushing each other near as much as we used to. Finally, Susan is maturing. But no, that's... oh, hallelujah. Do not... Oh, it is recording. Hallelujah. Whew. Man, don't pray the problem. Don't talk about the problem. Don't rehearse the problem. Because when you do, what do? You're magnifying it. It'll become, like I said last week, it'll become your identity. Have you seen that? People, their sickness, their bondage, their issue becomes their identity. It's who I am. And when the enemy loves to make you think you're in the B team or the C team. He wants to make you think you don't qualify because of your issues. But God's setting you free. Okay, what I got that one? Number three, there's only four. Number three. Now get this one now. I want you to stay with me. You must take sides. There is no neutral in the kingdom of God. You've got to take sides. Now what do I mean? Choose God's side. Because if the captain of the host were to appear to you, you better know how to answer that question. Are you for me? Or are you for my enemy? No. Bonehead. I'm for God. Amen? I'm the captain of his host. I'm for the Lord. I'm for the kingdom. I'm for God's will. Are y'all with me? It's required of us to seek the kingdom. Being quick to hear doesn't mean anything you hear, receive that as from the Lord. That's not what that means at all. It literally means to listen. How many know that's not easy to do when you're in the whirlwind? When the wind and the waves are louder than hearing the voice of God, it's hard to listen. Here's the promise. My sheep hear my voice. And if you listen, you can hear the voice of God. I encourage you with that today. You might say, well, I've never heard his voice. You couldn't have gotten saved without hearing his voice. Amen? But the enemy's got you convinced a hurricane around you can drown out his voice, and it can't, because his voice is the still small voice that is within you. Amen? And he'll say, go to the left or to the right and follow me. Amen? You still there? A lot of folks, though, aren't hearing anything because they aren't listening, because they're in neutral. They've got it in neutral. And in the kingdom, you can't put it in neutral, because the kingdom suffers violence against it, and the violent take it by force. You can't just put it in cruise control. You have to go for it. Take sides. Take God's side. Amen? Stand on God's word and make a stand for the kingdom of God in that situation. Amen? Hallelujah. Because can I tell you, believing it, just holding out for something to happen like you're going to win the lottery one day is not faith. Do people gamble in faith? No way. They walk out either going, I had a lousy day or I had a great day. But they'll tell you, that had nothing to do with faith. But a lot of people pray that way. Are y'all with me? We need to really wake up and understand that being in faith is a totally different thing than being in neutral. Just being stagnant. You know, how many would agree with me? Our enemy is an oppressor. Hello? He is an oppressor. Here's the thing. Neutrality will actually help the oppressor. And our neutrality will never help the oppressed. We can't help them if we're just coasting along and we've got this thing out of gear. You with me? Are you okay? Don't be mad at me. Take sides. Amen? Get on God's side and stay there. And put on your armor, and gird yourself, and let's go for it. Amen? Believe God. Hallelujah. Number four, the last one. Do not be silent. Do not be silent. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Well, how do I do that? Having a good overhead projection system? No. How do I magnify the Lord? With the words of my mouth. Amen? With the shout of my praise. I'm exalting God above the situation that is around me. Praise was ordained by God to silence your enemy. Okay? Psalm 8, verse 2. Jesus quoted it at the grand entry when he came into Jerusalem. He quoted that psalm. He said, this has been ordained by God. These children you're so upset about, God said that they would do this and they would silence and stop the enemy. Hallelujah! Here's the thing. The enemy wants to stop you. He wants to silence you. Are you with me? Magnify the Lord. What I like to do, even if I don't have a word to the degree where I could say, in the name of Jesus, do this or that, even if I don't have that word yet, I'm not going to get a word like that until I take some time to wait upon the Lord while I'm magnifying Him. Don't wait upon Him like sitting around watching TV. Amen? Wait upon Him as you're magnifying Him, lifting Him up, exalting Him, praising Him, enjoying His beauty and His glory, and then you'll hear His voice. Amen? You still there? And then you will speak that way. And can I tell you, when you get a word from God, you speak a word that's from God, it's a sword coming out of your mouth. Yes. Hello? Yes. But it's got to come out of your mouth. And that word coming out of your mouth is the sword of the Spirit. Our enemy is an oppressor. Can I tell you, he's not only an oppressor, he's a tormentor. Hello? Jesus calls him a lot of things. He's a destroyer. But how many of you, he loves to torment? He may not even totally destroy you, but he loves to torment you every day of your life if you'll let him. Are y'all with me? He torments you with a lie. He'll torment you with condemnation. He will torment you with an evil report, right? And how many of you, if you don't know how to handle that, that evil report will torment you until you get out from under it. Are you with me? That's what he does. But can I tell you something? Us being silent, I believe, also encourages the tormentor. Goliath. Y'all remember that story? Goliath came out. He had been doing it for 40 days, morning and night. Goliath came out and he stood there and he taunted the armies of Israel, daring somebody to rise up against him. Send me somebody to fight. And they just stood there. Nobody said a word until David came along. And David said, basically, this is what David said. I'm going to paraphrase. How long are we going to put up with this guy? How long are we going to let the bully stand there and blaspheme the name of the Lord our God? He is an uncircumcised Philistine. He doesn't have a covenant with God. Hallelujah! And you remember, he came at him. He wasn't silent. Before he ever swung the slingshot, he had defeated him with his words. Come on, guys. it became the catalyst for that giant coming down. Are you with me? Very important. I hope you get this today. Faith is not silent. Paul described the spirit of faith in 2 Corinthians 4. He said this, having the same spirit, stay with me, having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed it, therefore I speak it. I mean, when you believe something, it will come out of your mouth. Amen? Hallelujah? And then let me tell you, you may say, well, I speak some things, I don't know if I totally believe it. Well, keep speaking it because faith comes by hearing. It's almost like you'll come full circle. Amen? If you didn't have faith when you spoke it, you'll have faith because you spoke it. Hallelujah? Y'all still there? So Peter looks at the man and goes, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And I love it. Peter didn't give him a chance to do anything. The Bible says he reached down and took hold of him and pulled him up. Amen? And the man began to walk and leap and praise God. The enemy comes to Jesus. And he said, well, Jesus, no, he is, and they knew who Jesus was. You know, so Jesus probably just sat there and laughed at him. No. What did Jesus do? It is written. Can I tell you something? When you say something like that, and then you follow it up with a word or a promise from God, that's the last thing the enemy wants to hear. Why? Y'all hear me now. He has no comeback to truth. Because all he is a liar. So he has no comeback to truth. When you stand and say, yay, but by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, I am healed, it is written. The enemy's kind of like, what can I say to that? Are y'all with me? Y'all getting this? Again, it's a catalyst for your breakthrough. It's a catalyst for the miracle. It's to speak the word of God and to say it is written. Amen? Today's this little faith tune-up for us. Amen? Hallelujah. We have received power, the Bible says, to be his witnesses. I want you to make a connection. By the way, that word power is not the word authority. In the Old King James, power, many times, authority is translated power and vice versa. But this is the word power, and it's the word dunamis. And it's an explosive power. We actually draw our word dynamite from this word, okay? And so he said, we receive power to what? Be his witnesses. Notice that. Now stay with me. To be his witnesses. Now, many in the church, and don't get offended at me, just get over yourself. Okay? Everybody all right? Pull your toes in. Many people in the church are pleading the fifth. Have you been watching a movie and said, oh man, when they call this guy up to testify, that dude, that murderer's toast, right? And he comes up and he sits on the stand and he pleads the fifth. In other words, I'm not going to testify. It's my right to not have to testify. Hello? Yeah. And we all go, man, now how are we going to get the murderer, right? How are we going to get the guy put away? And you start to realize something. Much of the body of Christ pleads the fifth. We sit around in silence even though we have a right to stand and speak the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all shout me down. It's good. We need it. It's the testimony of Jesus that causes the angels to co-labor with us. It loses something in the heavenly realms. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Is bearing fruit important?
Amen.
Of course. Amen? We should be what? Come on, tell me some fruit. Love, kindness, joy, meekness, self-control. I mean, that ought to be all hanging off of our branches. Amen? Absolutely.
Yes.
There ain't nothing worse than somebody that has no fruit, but they think they got a word for you.
Right.
Amen? But can I tell you on the same side, to be all fruitful without a word ain't going to help anybody either. Y'all didn't shout me down on that one. But it's true. He's not called us to be merely nice people. Should we be nice people? Hello? But that's not what he's called us to be in the sense of that's all we're going to be. We're just going to be good people. That's a good guy. Are you with me? It's more than that. He's called us to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He's called us to be his witnesses. Because the testimony is actually a catalyst. I love to take other people's testimonies. When somebody tells me they can't get free from addiction, I like to take people's testimonies that I know have been set free from alcoholism and drug addiction. I love to take their testimony. I personally was never an addict. And I praise God I never got into addiction. But I know people who were, and so I take their testimony and I use it. I don't say it was mine. I just say, I know of a man. Amen? Hallelujah. I know somebody had a cancerous tumor, and after prayer and after ministry, they went back to the Lord. They went back to the Lord. They went back, got the MRI, and it's gone.
Amen.
See, that's the kind of thing you got to share. And it causes the enemy to wilt. It causes the enemy to wilt. Amen? Because what are we doing? We're magnifying the Lord with the Word of God. Whew. Matthew 10, verse 7. Jesus said, as you go, let me say go, preach, saying, let me say saying, the kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. How many of you know, it's not at hand until you say it. When I stood in line by that guy at Home Depot, was the kingdom of heaven near him? Be honest. Yes, it was. When you stood behind the guy at Home Depot, the kingdom of heaven was near to him. But there's no awareness of it. Stay with me. There's no awareness that the glory of Christ in you was there until it's proclaimed.
Yeah.
Are you with me? And so what does he say? Declare to them that the kingdom is here. And then he said what? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive. Aren't you glad? Freely give what you have received. What I have, I freely give to you. Amen? So do we go? Absolutely. We go, but we also proclaim something. Don't be silent. Are you with me? Don't put it in neutral. Am I ready to put your spiritual life in gear today?
Yes.
Anybody?
Yes.
Marvin's ready. I hear Marvin. He's ready. He's in drive. He's already. Hallelujah. Like I shared with you last week, it's good to decree a thing. It's good to decide on a matter. Okay? But it's even more powerful to proclaim it. And as you proclaim it, it becomes a catalyst for a demonstration of the kingdom of God. I want to take you to one more verse, and I want to pray over you and let you go, okay? Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. I love this account. 1 Samuel 14, in verse number 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, this was his armor bearer, okay? He said to him, come, now get to, I love this. Come and let us cross over to this garrison. There's only two guys, everybody. Everybody listen. Jonathan and his armor bearer. Everybody with me? Jonathan and his armor bearer. And there's this garrison of Philistines. Now I have time to read the whole story, the setup to this. I heard a powerful sermon years ago by Bill Johnson on this very story. It's amazing, but I don't have time to go into that now. Everybody said amen. But he said, look what he says. Come and let us cross over to the garrison of these... I love the way men of God that are in covenant love to say this. The uncircumcised. These pagans, these heathens. In other words, how many of you know, if you understand your covenant with God, you're not intimidated by the unbeliever. You're not intimidated by the enemy himself. Hallelujah. Come on, it says in the scripture that we'll look upon the devil in that day and we'll go,
is that him?
That, he's the one that terrified nations? Are you kidding me? Are you with me? Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. Say that with me. The Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. Everybody look at me. Don't ever underestimate what God can accomplish through you. Amen? Don't allow your limitations to limit he who's limitless. Amen?
Amen?
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Are you with me? He's a limitless God. And look at verse 7. His armor bearer said to him, I love this. He did not say, well, go for it, dude. I'll be waiting. Let me know how it goes. He didn't say that, did he? He said, do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself, and here I am with you according to your desire. If you read the rest of the story, it's pretty fabulous. They took the mountain of the Lord back. Two guys. Amen? Come on, everybody. Perhaps the Lord is with us. We don't have to say perhaps. He is with us. He is mighty to save. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's not limit God. You know, what I feel like we need more than anything in the church, and I say this to Freedom Day, but I say this to really all churches in the valley, we need to have a desire again to advance the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And to reach the lost and to set the captive. It needs to become a desire of our heart. They could have just sat there and had a picnic. It talked about the good old days and looked at that garrison. It's a shame. That garrison's on, by the way, it was called the Hill of the Lord. That garrison's on the Hill of the Lord. I mean, he could have done that, but they didn't do that at all. So, I believe God wants to put a fight back in us. Are you with me? He wants to put a tenaciousness back in us and say, no, we're not going to settle for this anymore. We're not going to watch our children and our young people and the new generation come up going to this godlessness. Amen? But that they will serve the living God. Here's what I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you will have a revelation of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to pray that. I also want to pray that none of us in this room and none of our vacation people this weekend will put their life in neutral any longer. Amen? But we'll put it out in neutral and get it back in drive and go for God. Amen? Let's choose God's side and God's kingdom. Amen? That's what we live for. First, the kingdom. Let us say first. And then I want to pray for you that we'll be obedient to speak and to take action after we've taken the time to listen and look at what the Spirit of God's communicating with us. As Spirit-filled and Spirit-led believers, we're to live our life not grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want to challenge you with. We're always to be looking and listening. How many of you, be honest with me, have you ever had a time when you felt like you heard God say something to you, and it was pretty dramatic because you weren't really listening?
Yeah.
Anybody with me? I have. I've had God break in upon my chaos and speak in. And how many know that's rare? That's rare. But any time I incline my ear to Him, and I listen intentionally, if I say intentionally, when I will be intentional, He'll speak. Because He's a speaking spirit.
Yes.
Amen? Let he who has ears. What did Jesus say over and over and over and over? Even in the book of Revelation, He said, let he who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. Not just what He has said, but what He is saying to the church. And I mean, if we will hear that voice, it'll change our existence for what we're here to do. Amen? It'll take us to a new place. Anybody want to go there? Seriously, anybody want to go there? Are you ready to receive? Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven right now. Would you lift your face toward heaven also? Just as though you're going to receive something from the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you just worship Him right now? Just give Him love and worship right now. Come on, just praise Him right now. I know sometimes you just go right into a prayer and you feel like you just kind of put the pedal to the metal, but would you just worship Him right now? Just love on Him. Just love on His heart. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. Oh, Lord, we want to live for You. We want to serve You, Lord. We want to please You, Lord. Hallelujah. We want to get the harvest that You paid for with Your blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what You hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ears. Every voice sing it again, just to the Lord. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what You hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ears. No matter what you're going through in your life right now, I want you to magnify the Lord with me, okay, everybody? I want you to do it right now with me. I'm just going to lead you right now. I bless You, O Lord. Come on, say, I bless You, O Lord, for You have forgiven me and cleansed me of all my iniquities and sins. And I am grateful. I bless You, O Lord, for You have healed me of all sicknesses and diseases and infirmities. I bless you, O Lord, for you have redeemed my life out of the pit of destruction. I am delivered out of the hand of the enemy. By the blood of Jesus, my Passover lamb. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. For he has crowned me with loving kindness and with compassion. Oh, say that again. Loving kindness and compassion. And you satisfy the desire of my mouth with good things and renew my youthfulness as the eagle. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I pray right now that you be magnified in every family, in every person's life, in every financial situation, among our children and our young people. Be magnified. Even in our physical bodies, be magnified, Jesus. For you're worthy. You're worthy. Scrolls declare hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, who was, who is, and who is to come. Hallelujah. The unchanging God, who is the same with us today as he was yesterday, and he will be forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Worthy to the Lamb. Worthy to the Lamb. Come on, give him a wave off the Lamb. Worthy to the Lamb. Oh, the Lamb of God and his power. He's coming like a mighty river today. Glory to God. There's healing in this room. There's breakthroughs in this room in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 So what I'm going to pray for you right now, I want you to receive it from Jesus, not from Rick. I want you to receive it from Jesus. I'm praying over you as your pastor right now. And I'm praying for a release of this right now. So keep your eyes on the Lord. Are you ready? Respond to God today if this bears witness with your heart. Lord, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you, the Father of glory, will grant everyone in the sound of my voice with a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, I pray that the eyes of their hearts will be opened and enlightened, Lord God, that they may know the hope of your calling upon their lives, that they may know the surpassing riches of the glory that is in the saints, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, that we may know the surpassing greatness of the power that is at work in and through the lives of those who believe in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave. Hallelujah. The God who calls those things that are not as though they were. And he causes dead things to live again. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with a revelation that Jesus, the glorious one, is in you. Hallelujah. You say, I am a carrier. I am a courier of the presence of God to my generation, to my family, to my loved ones, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I am your vessel. I will be your catalyst that will release revival and glory and breakthrough in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it today, Lord. We're giving thanks for it right now. Just giving thanks for it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to keep praying. I want to pray this one more thing. I pray for you right now to have that grace upon your life to be able to listen and to be able to look even in the midst of chaos. As we shared during worship today, even in the midst of the storm, that you can sleep with Jesus in the bow of the boat. That you can still hear his voice. That you can still see what he's wanting to show you right now. Anybody want that? Do you want that right now? Even in the storms, I hear the Lord say, this is what the Lord's been communicating today through the worship and the word, that you do have the ability to listen. You do have the ability to wait upon the Lord and to be quick to hear. And when you obey him and speak his words, it will be the sword of the Spirit coming out of your mouth, and it will do great damage to the enemy's kingdom. Ears, open up. Say it. Ears, open up.
Ears, open
Spiritual ears, open up. Spiritual eyes, open up. Be enlightened. All your spiritual senses come alive unto God in the name of Jesus. And I pray that for you when you're in your prayer time tomorrow. I pray that for you when you're standing in worship in the house of the Lord. I pray that for you when you're driving down the 101, that you can hear the voice of God and you can see what God is revealing to you. And I bless you to walk in it. The Lord blesses you. And the Lord is keeping you. The Lord causes His face to shine upon your face. And the Lord is gracious unto you all. And the Lord grants you peace, shalom, to each and every one of you today. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say this with the Lord. Lord, I receive it. I receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus. It is mine. I have it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You might say, well, how can I say that? Because those were not my words. Everything I prayed over you was straight out of the scripture. What the apostles prayed in the epistles. Okay? It was the word of God. So you can receive it as the word of God today. Will you do that? Will you do that? Amen? Get ready for change. Hallelujah. Now, I see a lot of catalysts in the room. Let's go be a catalyst every day of our lives for the Lord to do something mighty. Hallelujah. Join us on Wednesday night. We'll be praying next door in our office suite at 6:30. Come and intercede and pray with us. We're believing God for a breakthrough. Come be a catalyst in prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory.